Perhaps you're wondering, what is the evidence of being filled with the Spirit? There's lots of talk today about the Holy Spirit and about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled and knowing the fullness of the Spirit and terms like this. We want to go to Ephesians 5 again and read beginning with verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. Now, we mentioned last time that all believers have the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:9, he says that if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't belong to Christ if you don't have the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. But it is possible for the Holy Spirit to be grieved, and we talked about that, grieved by sin, grieved by failure in our lives, grieving the Holy Spirit by refusing him really to fill our lives and use it as he wants. Here he speaks of being filled with the Spirit. One of the evidence of being filled with the Spirit we read of in Acts 4, and I want to read some from this chapter. Peter and John, maybe you remember, were threatened. They'd been preaching and they're threatened now by the leaders who in verse 18, charge them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than unto God, you judge. We cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard. Now when they're let go, they come to their own company, it says, to the group of Christians. They tell them all that the chief priests and elders had told them, how they'd been warned, how they'd been told, no more preaching, no more teaching in the name of Jesus. Quit giving this message. And then the Christians cry to the Lord, and they rejoice in his greatness and in his sovereignty. They say, O Lord, you're the one who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. And then they say in verse 29, Lord, look upon their threatenings. Grant unto your servants to speak your word with all boldness. And verse 31 says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were gathered together. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the scripture here says, these people, after they prayed, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was the evidence of it? It says they spoke the word of God with boldness. It doesn't say there was any special sign gifts, no miracles mentioned or things like this. But, and here it speaks of the message being given out by them as being given with boldness. They were witnessing, they were preaching the gospel with boldness when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe this is one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit. We'll be speaking boldly of the Lord Jesus. We'll be witnessing concerning him. If we have problems witnessing, if we're afraid to identify with him, if we kind of go around refusing to acknowledge the fact, yes, we're a Christian, someone has to almost get us in the corner and say, do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Are you a born-again Christian? Before we'll meekly say, yes. We're just cowardly. If this is true of us, I think we really have to face the fact we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make a person proud of the Lord Jesus, bold to speak of him, bold to witness. Oh, we need to be filled with the Spirit so we can be bold, happy witnesses for him. The world needs to hear about him. And if we are afraid, if we are cowardly, if our mouths are closed instead of being open and speaking of our Savior to others, we need to say, Lord, take sin out of my life, Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your joy. Fill me with your word. I want to be a bold, happy witness for you. So that in Acts 4, it says an evidence there of the Holy Spirit's filling is boldness in witness and speaking for him. God wants all of his children to be bold. He wants all of us to be witnesses. Don't say, well, that's just the job of the minister or the preacher or the clergyman or the priest or whatever. It's the privilege of every believer. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. And he wasn't just meaning the apostles only. He told Christians, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And it's the work of every Christian. One of the tragedies today is that so many Christians seem to think it's the job for a paid preacher. When God says, listen, if you're a believer, and if Christ is your Savior, and if he means anything to you at all, don't be ashamed of him. Stand up for him and witness for him. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be bold in doing that. Now, I'll give some other results here in verses 19 to 21. And notice there aren't any sensational gifts mentioned here. He doesn't say, if you're filled with the Spirit, for example, you'll be a great gospel preacher. He doesn't say, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll know constant good health. He doesn't say, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll prosper in your business. He says instead that there will be changes in our character, in our attitude. And what we are. This is the fruit of the Spirit that he talks about in Galatians, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit are not any particular sensational gifts, but are qualities of life that God wants to work into the life of every one of his believers, every one of his children. It's the very life of Christ himself. It's that same quality life, the same quality life that the people saw when Jesus was here on earth. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And Jesus is saying, the same life that flows through me by the Holy Spirit, I want to flow through you, you as a Christian. And you will then bear fruit, and people will see the same kind of life that they saw in me, the God life, flowing through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be fruitful. Bear fruit, more fruit, he says in John 15. And here he talks about three evidences then of being filled with the Spirit. One is, he says, there will be joy and happiness in the Lord. It'll be marked by singing, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. Joy in the Lord. In Psalm 40, the psalmist says, you know, you've taken me up out of a horrible pit. He says, you put a new song in my mouth. A new song in my mouth. And I've got something to sing about now because the Lord has saved me. And he's changed my life. I have a reason to rejoice. And he says here, being filled with the Spirit will cause you to sing and rejoice. When Paul and Silas were in that jail in Philippi, the middle of the night, you remember, they had been beaten, their feet were in stocks, they were in pain. In the middle of the night, they were praying, they were singing, they were praising God, they were filled with the Spirit. One of the signs of being filled with the Spirit is joy in the Lord. If we're complaining, if we're griping, if we're unhappy, if we're always seeing the dark side of everything, at those moments, we are not filled with the Spirit. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And these songs will flow from your heart. Christians are a singing people. I've known people who, when they accepted the Lord, had never sung before. Their lives had no song. But when they accepted the Lord Jesus, they said, I want to learn to sing. And they began singing. God had given them something to sing about. It's a grand thing to be a Christian, isn't it? To know the Lord. Another sign, he says, is you're going to be thankful. You're giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thankful. One of the marks of the world, the unbeliever, is one of the sins that they're accused of is being unthankful. God has blessed us in so many ways. If you're a Christian, so much to be thankful for. And yet how many times we gripe, we grumble, we complain, we are not thankful. I remember what a rebuke it was to me one time when I visited a widow lady who had been a friend of my mother's. And she had had a lot of sickness and trouble in life. She had tuberculosis and I believe had to have one lung removed and been ill a lot. Then she lost her husband, was a widow for a number of years, had no children. Much of her life here toward the end, she was alone. Some Christian friends that visited her, but a kind of a lonely life. And she had no money to speak of. She was very poor. I don't know if she was on welfare or Social Security or just what. But you would think she had very little. And I remember going to see her, and I thought, I wonder what I can say to her to encourage her. Poor soul, she'll probably be feeling down. And what scripture could I leave with her? What could I say? And as I went in and we began to talk, she was so happy to see me. And she was beaming, rejoicing, so happy. She told me everything that she had to be thankful for. She had a house, just a little house, one-room thing. Very poor, poorly furnished. She was thankful for it. She had food to eat. She was thankful for it. She was thankful for all the good things the Lord had given her, for her salvation most of all. She was losing her sight. She couldn't read anymore, but oh, she was so thankful. She said, you know, someone has given me a tape recorder, and I have some of the scriptures now on tape. And she said, I'm just so thankful. I can read the scripture. Or rather, I can hear the scripture read to me, and I can enjoy it, thankful. And then the last thing that is emphasized here is being subject one to another in the fear of Christ, a submissive, gracious, humble spirit toward one another. Now, this will follow being filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, as Christians, let's ask God to fill us with His Spirit so that we can be radiant, happy witnesses for Him.